of gooey musical goodness. But you have to join me. And if you do join me, there is a chance that I may lovingly pull rabbits out of your hats. That's the Spin Cycle, right here on KRVS, 11 p.m. Thursday night.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and this evening. Partly sunny with a high reaching about 82. Breeze from the north at 10 miles per hour. This evening, a low of about 61 this evening. And on Thursday, a sunny sky with a high of 83. Rain moves into the picture on Friday and will be probably a feature for the next week or so in the afternoons. Currently, there are a few clouds. It's 80 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We're going to begin this hour by going into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
With me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are members of Trails and Bike Lafayette, Scott Schilling with Trails, Tony Bonomolo with Bike Lafayette, and Nick Hernandez with Trails. This is National Bike Month, and the City Parish President, Joey Durrell, proclaimed May as Bike Month in Lafayette, I guess in surrounding areas as well, at least in Lafayette Parish. The week of May 14th through the 18th is Bike to Work Week, and May 18th is Bike to Work Day. So lots of things coming up that the City Parish has proclaimed as specific to biking and making people more aware of it. You all have been interested in that for some time now, and I think we're going to start off talking with about Trails. Scott Schilling and Nick Hernandez are here with Trails, and your organization has a little bit wider mission than just bikes in Lafayette, but you're definitely interested in that and the whole bike issues of bike safety and the bike culture in our communities. Why was Trails started, Scott?
Well, Trails was actually started from the bicycle subcommittee for the MPO back in 2005. And we had a group of us who built the bikeway plan, which included not just a map that had connectivity between parks, libraries, and other aspects of our community beyond Lafayette, but also gave design considerations and suggestions for the transportation department in the city. So it was a citizen group, and after we spent a couple of years laying out these plans and putting a lot of work into it, we realized that the funding mechanisms were not in place to help build and construct and maintain, you know, everything that we just worked on. So a group of us got together and we created a nonprofit organization with an acronym TRAIL, which stands for Transportation Recreation Alternatives in Louisiana. And its purpose is to go out and build bike paths, hiking paths, parks, and help build them and maintain them, as well as provide advocacy to educate people to get outside, experience their world around them. And so we've been a small group that's taken a long time to get going, and then recently Bike Lafayette has really been on the stage, bringing a lot of people and activity together, and we realize that we have a lot of crossover missions, so mm-hmm. we've been working well together, almost like as Siamese twins, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to push forward some of our efforts.
Well, tell us a bit about it, because obviously you have a passion for, and maybe it started off with bikes, but I think some people don't fully realize the value of what you're describing, connectivity through trails that are human-powered, using means to get places other than a vehicle. So tell us about why you have a passion for that.
I guess my passion comes from a couple different avenues. I mean, when I was in high school, a bike is how I got around. It was my freedom. It was my way to get away from my parents. It also mm-hmm. allowed me to stay after school to participate in sports or something else. As I got older, it was a way to get outside and just really experience the world. And, you know, whether it's mountain biking or road biking, I think, you know, people that are on motorcycles, the same thing, that you are able to experience the world around you a lot more vividly when you're out in the open. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to get on a bike, to go see the world, be able to cover a lot of territory, a lot of distance within a short period of time, is pretty intimate and romantic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess that is a romantic vision of it. You know, we do have this notion of, every kid in America has a bike, and you just take off, you know, down the driveway and go into the road. But what happened, I guess, to make you realize it took more than just your passion for riding a bike yourself, that something else needed to happen to make it possible for other people?
Well, I've lived in a lot of different, you know, communities. And when I moved back to Lafayette and, in the 2004, I read an article in the paper looking at the Metropolitan Planning Organization was looking for volunteers or citizens to sit on the bicycle subcommittee. So I showed up at the meeting, and from one thing led to another, and here we are today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is quite a path, because you do get into all kinds of interesting issues, and as you mentioned earlier, funding issues, especially to make that dream, to realize that dream. So obviously, there's one other person here from Trails, and you mentioned that there's a small group of you who started the organization. Nick Hernandez is with us as well. Were you one of the founding members, Nick?
No, I'm not. I'm just now getting into it.
Okay. Well, tell us just a bit about where your love for trails and biking and other forms of personal transportation came from.
Well, kind of like Scott, you know, I've always biked whenever I was in high school, before I drove. It was a way of getting around. You know, we would venture, you know, from Broadmoor all the way down to the airport. It was like this huge adventure. And I've always biked in college. It was my way to get around. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was in Austin, Texas, I didn't fill up my car for 6 weeks. So, it's always been a passion of mine. It's always been something I think Lafayette has huge potential in growing into with the bicycle community here. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to be working with Trail. I just started about 3 weeks ago, and it's been great. I love it.
All right. Well, obviously, this is the great month to be involved with any organization having to do with biking, since it is National Bike Month. Bike Lafayette is another organization in town very interested in biking and all issues surrounding it. My guest, Tony Bonomolo, is with Bike Lafayette. John Maloney has been with us in our studios before, talking about the bike swap meet that you all have had in Girard Park.
Yeah, we had the second annual bike swap meet just a couple weeks ago, and Bike Lafayette's just an organization to advocate for more and better bicycle facilities in and around town, and also to bring together the different bicycle communities within Lafayette, because you have cyclists that ride every day because they have to get around, or you have the BMX riders or the long distance road riders who don't normally get to associate with each other because they live on opposite ends of the spectrum of biking. And unless there's a place for somebody to really take advantage of taking all of those communities and bringing them together, it's really hard to bridge that community. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Bike Lafayette likes to do, is we try to hold bike rides that include all of the cycling communities within Lafayette, not mm-hmm. just one specific community.
Well, and they all must have the same concerns and issues, but sometimes we think just because a person's in another group, well, that's not really my concern. We don't see it exactly the same way, but safety is something that really ties all of you together, I guess, good trails. And it was fascinating to hear all of the description of the different kinds of people who come to your bike swap every year.
Yeah, it's great, and it's the second one we've had, and we hope to become bigger and better next year. Mm-hmm. And from here on out, we work with not only do we work with the different communities within Lafayette, we also try to work with some of the communities in Baton Rouge, and really to bring together a statewide mm-hmm. drive for bicycles, so that we have a good bicycle community within the entire state, and specifically within Lafayette for mm-hmm. Bike Lafayette.
Well, I know just in my particular community around KRVS, we're located on campus, I have never seen so many bicycles as we see now. And the kids tell me you can't find a space at the bicycle racks. They're just completely full up. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, there's something out there, and you all are obviously part of this wonderful awareness of the need for it, the pleasure for it, so many reasons to be biking right now. So lots of students I know personally are involved.
Yeah, well, as the campus gets bigger, it's mm-hmm. hard to walk all the way across. So if you can jump on a bike, you could probably make your class on time.
Absolutely. It's something that's taken years for many students to figure out, but they are out there right now and, you know, coming from their apartments, and it's really nice to see. It's a lovely thing to have happening on campus. So if you are just tuning in, we're here talking about National Bike Month that's taking place in our community. These two organizations, Trails and Bike Lafayette, are kind of, as you said, twinning in many, you meet on so many issues, and so you all have a lot of events that are taking place this month that you'd like to talk about. Some that have already happened, obviously, Joey Durrell proclaimed National Bike Month here in Lafayette a little earlier in the month. There have been some workshops on basic traffic skills and bike commuting basics that have been taking place. But you all have some events coming up in the next week that I think a lot of people who bike may be interested in. And which one should we start off talking about? Perhaps Tony?
It's on May 12th, it's Saturday, we have a Ride for Rocks. It's a ride in memory of Roxanne Richard, who was killed while riding her bicycle last October. It's kind of sad, but we try to remember those who are have been injured and killed on bicycles. There's a 50-mile bike ride that starts at 8 a.m. and another 25-mile bike ride that starts at 9:30. Both rides begin and end at Acadiana Park. And if 50 miles sounds a little daunting, 25 miles is also might sound daunting. However, 25 miles on a bike is not as big of a ride as it sounds. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour and a half ride, you'd say, Scott. But
I'm sure there'll be various types of riders, so you'll have some that'll be pushing pretty hard, and you'll have some that'll be, you know, taking it a little bit easier. So,
yes, you won't be forcing people to keep up a certain pace.
Oh, no. It's a no-drop ride, which means that we don't drop bicyclists off the back end of the ride, and it takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to do that, which is, you know, a nice stroll around the park.
It's absolutely a beautiful ride. The 50-mile will take you from Acadiana Park, which is, by the way, every Tuesday and Thursday, there's a group that rides out of there at 6:30, you know.
In the morning?
No, 6:30 in the afternoons. But going from Acadiana Park out towards Sawmill Highway, which is, especially when you get near Highway 31, a beautiful ride, beautiful oak trees and a lot of moss, and then up Highway 31 to Arnaville, and then from Arnaville down to Grand Coteau, and then making your way back to Acadiana Park. And the nice thing about it is that you'll have all types of levels of riders, and so there will be a group for pretty much everybody out there. And it's nice riding in the comfort of a pack and really get to experience, you know, our territory. And especially on a Saturday morning, it'll be, low traffic. And so it'll be a great ride for people to get out there. And like I said, 25 miles and 50-mile ride. And when you do it with a group environment, it's
now, 25 miles, is that going to take the same trail? Or where does that one go?
I'm not certain on the 25 mile.
Okay, you're going on the 50, obviously.
the 25 mile, I'll be a little closer into town and follow the roads, and it'll be easy. There'll be large groups of people, so it's not as dangerous as it sounds. If you think it's dangerous to ride your bike on the road, and that's one of the things that Bike Lafayette and Trails are trying to work to overcome is the danger or the perception of danger of riding on the road.
But obviously this ride is in memory of someone who was killed, and how do you all address that issue? Do you talk about it? Do you, like, when people gather to start off on a ride, or are you all going to remember her or talk about certain safety concerns? How do you address that?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure in so many different ways.
Yeah, you know, it is a memorial ride. Yeah. And so, I mean, I imagine there will be a moment of silence, you know, for Roxanne. But some of the things that will, you know, always push in safety with, you know, group ride, you should be wearing a helmet in a group. Watch out for one another. You know, that's going back to the no drop. But specifically for this event, the proceeds will be going to promote bike safety. And bike safety can happen in many different forms of fashion. One, from educating cyclists on how to ride, you know, to get, if you're on Johnson Street, that you're riding with the direction of traffic. You know, you're not riding backwards in the bike lane. To just, you know, having signages to build awareness, you know, for motorists that there are cyclists on the road, just to, you know, change that culture to make, you know, so that we're all thinking that the road is is a common place for both cyclists and motorists.
Right. So this ride, the Ride for Rocks, it's kind of like, I guess, a 5K run where you pay to get into the ride. Is that how you're raising money?
Yes, it's going to be a $30 entry fee, mm-hmm. and there are rest stops, snacks and drinks, and maps along the road. So if you happen to get lost, you shouldn't be too lost. Okay. However, the money will go to benefit bicycle safety and awareness, like Scott said, to work on signage and just awareness of bicycles.
Yeah. Now, do people need to sign up ahead of time, or can they sign up that morning?
Both. Obviously, it'd be nice to sign up ahead of time, just so we have an indication of how many people are going to be out there. But you can do that at active.com. But also, day of registration is welcome, depending on what ride you're going to be on. Again, it starts at 8 o'clock, so if you could get out there at 7 a.m., it would make it a lot easier on the organizers.
And for those people who have not been to Acadiana Park, where is that?
That's right off of Alexandria. So if you were traveling on Moss Street, right before you get head north, right before you get to I-10, you'll be on Alexandria, take a right, and you'll pass Turlings, and Acadiana Park is right there on your left.
All right.
And if you don't cycle and you got someone on your family cycle, you can play frisbee golf while you wait for them to come back.
Mm-hmm. Nice, relaxing morning. If you have just tuned in, we're talking about Ride for Rocks, which is one of the many activities taking place this month. It is National Bike Month, and it is Bike Month here in Lafayette Parish as well, and perhaps many other parishes also. Ride for Rocks will be this Saturday, and you can get there by, 8 o'clock. Is that's what time the ride starts?
The ride starts at 8, so okay. You should actually get there 7 o'clock to register, or 7:30, so you can get ready.
All right.
And warm up.
So that's Ride for Rocks, and again, the proceeds going for many, many safety issues, whether it's signage or other education activities. Now, you have other things going on that, again, are all for awareness and activity and pleasure. What else is happening this weekend, I think?
Yes, well, that evening after the morning, we got Ride for Rocks. So that evening, we'll be doing a RASH, which is a Riding Armadillo Scavenger Hunt. So it's going to be a bicycle-based scavenger hunt that will cover pretty much about a 3-mile perimeter around Park San Souci in downtown Lafayette. So it'll be relaxed, low pace. It'll be teams of 2 to 8, and it will be $10 per person. You can register at active.com, or you can do a day of. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've actually have enjoyed the last couple months getting out there and putting these clues together. And if you've lived in Lafayette your entire life and lived in downtown Lafayette, I think you'll learn a lot of things about your community that you haven't experienced yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go out to the active.com website just to review the registration, there are already 3 clues that are posted.
So you can get a head start on that.
So you can get a head start. So.
Okay. Now, active.com, you do keep mentioning that. Is that where people go for more information about trails at this point?
Active.com is where you can go get more information specifically about these events.
These activities, okay.
But if you wanted to learn more about these events or our organizations, then you could go to the websites. LATrails.org. Is one.
We spend most of our time on Facebook because we're a little younger crowd. Our Facebook following is a little bit bigger. So we do facebook.com/BikeLafayette. And so we also have BikeLafayette.org. It's two places we put blog posts up on BikeLafayette.org and really communicate back and forth on Facebook.
Okay, and people are quite adept at finding organizations. I know this could be fighting words here.
Yeah, we do have training wheels.
Well, I'll let y'all discuss that after the interview. We are talking about National Bike Month. With us are the Bike Lafayette and the more sophisticated, mature group, Trails, both working to increase all of our awareness of biking safety and the pleasures of biking. And as Scott has said, Trails is also concerned with all kinds of mobility that people can do, I guess, walking, kayaking, all kinds of things that we can do in the outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you talk about all the outdoor activities, the kayaking. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Tackball Eshak Trail, which would be a multi-use trail, it would not only be for running, walking, cycling, strolling, but there would also be kayak put in. So, and that's one of the events that we're working on along with Bike Lafayette too. So.
All right, well, we're going to talk about that trail because I know a lot of people are very interested in that trail, and you hear that tossed around a lot, and some people may be a little uncertain as to what it's going to be. Then you're going to have on Monday, I think, the Ride for Silence.
Right, yes. Monday it's the Ride for Silence. It's a worldwide event to remember those who have have been hit, injured, or killed on bicycles. It leaves at Park Sans UC at 6 o'clock, and it's a completely silent ride. Just a moment of silence just to have to yourself and think about the different cyclists and just riding with yourself.
Well, I imagine that's one of the pleasures of riding a bike, too, is that quietness. You know, I guess, except if you get a certain speed, you might have the wind.
Yeah. Well, and you see, and this ride is, you know, no more than 12 miles an hour. Everybody wears helmets, so it is focused on safety and, you know, and allows everybody to meditate about the unfortunate accidents that have happened.
Right, and just thinking about how to make our community safer for cyclists and other people on the road. Then you have a commuter challenge. I know that takes place the second half of the month. How can people get involved in that?
Well, the commuter challenge, and this one, we're hoping to have a great participation. I mean, we've had a lot of outpouring support from all local businesses and giving gift certificates, you know, prizes to give out every day, every weekday during this event. So from May 14th to the end of the month, May 31st, we'll be giving out prizes every day to people who take a picture of themselves commuting either to work, to go shopping, or to a restaurant. And they can take those pictures, they can upload them to Bike Lafayette's Facebook.
Yes.
And where all the young people hang out. And then from that, we will enter those participants into a lottery. And every day we'll be doing a drawing from the various sponsors that we've had have given us these certificates. So we're excited about it. We've had a great outpouring support, and I think we have some good prizes, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this. We expect we hope to see some good, crazy, young-looking pictures out there.
Or some very cool older people on bicycles.
that too.
All right, so the second half of the month, take photographs of yourself, your friends, your family, riding bikes to and from work, commuting, and post it up on the Facebook, and you could win a prize for that. But it sounds like everyone who participates really is winning something and just increasing the awareness, increasing our participation in biking, and creating just a different climate in the community. Again, the two organizations with us in the room today, Trails and Bike Lafayette, and Nick Hernandez, you're one of the newer members with Trails.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to most during this month of activities?
Well, I'm really looking forward to all of them, actually, and we've had some already that have been very successful, and the energy is really good. The scavenger hunt has been the most exciting, in my opinion.
Y'all look at smiles on your faces when you mention the scavenger hunt.
It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. And the trail commuter challenge is the one I'm personally, like, I'm working very hard to make that a success. And that is going to be very exciting. I mean, all you have to do is take a picture of yourself, like he said, put it on Facebook. And the Facebook group that you put it on, you Facebook search Trails for LA, put that in the search field, and you'll find us. Become a member, and then all you have to do is post your picture in front of your workplace or wherever, and we'll enter you automatically into our database, and then we'll choose somebody at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay, so,
every
day
it's
is
not
winner.
Just a commute to work. I mean, it's commute to work, or if you're going to commute to the movies, or you're going to commute to go shopping, if you're going to commute to go out to eat, take a picture if you're just out there commuting around.
It could become a new verb, commuting around. Now, I'm sure some people listening are kind of wondering, well, where do I go on my bike? You know, you can commute to work, but you did mention the Attakapa Ishak Trail. I'm sure there are lots of people who would like to know, where can they safely bike? Where are the places set aside for bikes right now?
Well, right now, the safest place to bikes in your neighborhood is going to be on streets that have little traffic. Mm-hmm, you know, so just being aware of where you are and where you're going and what's your destination. You know, for myself, everybody's lives in different places and trying to go somewhere. So for me to go from my house to downtown, so I live out by, you know, Lafayette High area. There's several back streets that you can take, and then once you get to, you know, University Commons, I mean, University Commons takes you all the way from Eras Landry all the way down across Congress and then down to Johnson Street, and you're right by campus. And from there, you can jump on Johnson Street for a short pedal to get over to Girard Park. Or if you want to go downtown, you could get on St. Landry, and that could take you downtown area. So all
sounds like y'all are geographically a creative group. You see the landscape of the community in a very different way. Yeah.
Well, let's read more maps than books.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about the Attakapau Ishak Trail. What is that? I know people have been hearing that phrase. What is it going to do? What is its purpose?
Right. Well, in short, the Attakapau Ishak Trail connects downtown Lafayette, Brobridge, and St. Martinville. And we've also just made an addition to incorporate Opelousas through Krotz Springs and also through the using the levees of the Whiskey River. But when you look at the Attakapau Ishak Trail, it is absolutely going to be an exceptional asset for this community. And if you'd imagine a 12-foot wide hard surface path that you can go out there with a stroller, with a bike, to walk, to run, and it travels from downtown Lafayette predominantly along the Vermilion River, the Ruth Canal, takes you out by Lake Martin. And the beautiful thing about this trail is that it doesn't incorporate, private property. Most of it is dealing with, governmental property or quasi-governmental entities. But something that's very beautiful about this trail is that we have in the Lafayette area, when you look at the undeveloped area between Lafayette, Brobridge, and St. Martin, we have some beautiful geography out there, and such as Lake Martin. Mm-hmm. And very few communities can you be in downtown and then in 7 minutes be lost in the wilderness mm-hmm. here. And when you look at Ruth Canal, it's like a 40-foot wide canal that moves water between the Vermilion River and the Bayou Teche, and it's just a canopy of trees.
Gorgeous.
Very few people have been able to get out there and experience it. And this trail will get you into the environment that's in your community and allow you to experience it and also get a little exercise.
In a quiet way.
Yeah. And to also become educated about, mm-hmm. What's in your environment and nature around you. Mm-hmm. So
now, what is that trail going to look like? What kind of surface is going to be a concrete surface?
Or? As a big project. Mm-hmm. So it will come, over time, it'll develop. Right now, our focus is on the next major phase, which would be phases 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. which would be a loop around the airport. And that'd be just in and of itself, that portion right there would be a 5.5-mile loop that is largely removed from roads. So when you're looking for a place to go run, to go ride a bike, this would be something just in and of itself that would be useful. But right now we're working on a grant to do a portion on the backside, which would just be a primitive trail. So when you look at the surface area, this one would be more for trail running, mm-hmm. Maybe you want to get out there with a fat tire bike to get around. But over time, that would develop into a 12-foot wide hard surface path. So there's going to be different iterations mm-hmm. in the development of this trail. It's a big project, and it's going to be bits and chunks here and there. And we got a good group, and we got a lot of support within the community. We have a lot of people with LCG that are working on it and beyond. So, mm-hmm. We got good momentum, and looking forward to getting this project to the next stages.
What's the best place for people to find out more information about the AIT? Is your website or?
Our website pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still working on it. It's a work in progress. Yeah.
Okay. But if you wanted to learn more about the Attakapau Ishak Trail and see the map, and if you also wanted to see the bikeway plan, so mm-hmm. when the Attakapau Ishak Trail is a component of the bicycle plan for the MPO. If you go to
mpo.lafayettela.gov, that's the full address, mpo.lafayettela.gov, and if you click on the plans tab, and you go and find the MPO bikeway plan, you'll find other links to the Attakapau Ishak Trail.
All right, you can see the map and the projected trails right there.
Now, we hope to have this posted on our website pretty soon, but it's a flyover, and it's a Google Map flyover of mm-hmm. the Attakapau Ishak Trail, so it's actually like you'd be flying a little plane mm-hmm. right over where the trail would go.
So. Well, we'll look forward to that. So a good idea to go to their websites, Trails or Bike Lafayette, and coming up soon, you'll be able to see where the Attakapau Ishak Trail goes. Nick?
There's also Bike to Work Day that's coming up. Two big events. Well, I was going to say milestones, but it's May 18th. One is Coffee with the City Parish President. Joey Durrell is going to will bike from his home with area and meet other area cyclists at another Broken Egg in River Ranch at 7 a.m. this on May 18th. open to the public. And then we're also having a commuter convoy immediately following Coffee at, with Bike Lafayette. Bike Lafayette will lead the commuter convoy from the Fresh Market parking lot in River Ranch along secondary roads to workplaces in downtown, UL, and the Oil Center, the core working areas of the city.
All right, and is that a Friday, May 18th?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I was hoping it was a work day.
Yeah.
So we've been listening to lots of events going on this month, lots of different rides, activities going on, and both of your websites, your Facebook pages, will have a list of all of those activities. I can see people out there furiously trying to write down as they cycle, taking notes, listening to this.
They'll be out there, but just to recap, I mean, coming up, we have the Ride for Rocks this Saturday morning, and then we have the RASH, the Riding Armadillo Scavenger Hunt, Saturday evening. And then we have the Ride for Silence on May 14th, Monday. And then we have the Commuter Challenge, which will be from May 14th to the end of the month. And then also...
Then the two you mentioned.
And then, the two on May 18th, which is Coffee with the City Parish President, President Joey Durrell, and the Commuter Convoy.
Okay, and then don't forget to take those photographs and put them up on Bike Lafayette's site and let everybody know that you're on your bike and you're participating. Well, thank you all for coming by. Again, this is National Bike Month all over the place and here in Lafayette Parish and surrounding areas as well. With me are members of Trails and also Bike Lafayette, Scott Schilling, Nick Hernandez with Trails, and Tony Bonamolo with Bike Lafayette. Thank you all for your hard work and vision, and we look forward to having you on in the years to come to let us know how things are going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Judith will be back in just a couple of moments. We're going to listen to a track or two from a new disc by Isidore. Isidore, better known as Fabian Thibodeau. He will be performing a special concert this weekend, Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Grand Opera House of the South in Crowley. His new release is entitled Reconstructed, a new disc of solo piano. From it, this is a number entitled Summer Nights. Thank you.
Joining me in the KRVS studios now is Gary Bright. He is director of UL Lafayette's new Office of Innovation Management. And Gary started off his career at Revlon. You were senior marketing manager there and have been working with many companies in the West Coast in Texas, including being president of some pharmaceutical companies. So you've had a varied career, and you are now working here at the university, the Office of Innovation Management. And as we mentioned before we started this interview, I think there are a lot of people out there who are kind of confused about companies and universities and all of the various offices and positions they have now. It used to be very simple: president, vice president, maybe a couple deans.
That's it.
And now there's so many different offices, and I suspect a lot of that has to do with technology, but give us a sense of what your office is, because it's actually quite a field. I mean, it isn't something that UL just made up.
No, it's a big field. It's an important field. And I think it reflects entrepreneurial faculty and students who want to take their science or their research another step. Of course, it's important to the community because we think about economic development, startup companies, venture capital, risk capital, angel networks. And so the Office of Innovation Management touches all of those things, existing companies and maybe new companies in our community. And it's an intriguing field. It's an important field.
Well, you know, some of the things you're mentioning, people are thinking, well, don't those have to do with, like, corporations and banking? And how does that fit in with a university? Why would a university be interested in those topics?
Universities' constituencies include faculty, of course, and students, but also taxpayers and local businessmen. And they'd like to believe that we are a font of important ideas and discoveries. And then we transfer those out for the benefit of the community. And American universities really bring in billions of dollars in income every year through their inventions. That money gets plowed back into research, and it's a virtuous cycle. More research, more discoveries, more products, more competitiveness. We're more productive as a country. And whether you're looking at the internet or certain new pharmaceutical agents that came off of campuses, and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette is now at that point where we've reached a critical mass of research, and we feel like now's the time for us to take the jump. Mm. And since I've done this over and over again, it seemed like it was a nice fit.
Well, and when you mention research, I'm sure many people are thinking, well, that's been going on a long time at universities. You have this image of the professor going into his lab. And what is it about this period that we need someone to help with the process of research and development?
I think there was a realization in 15 or 20, 25 years ago that we really weren't conveying discoveries. They're sitting on a shelf, essentially, and we can sort of document that number of patents that universities had and number of transactions with industry. Not a lot was happening. And so a couple of senators, Birch Bayh, Bob Dole, passed a law in the early 80s, and really it was a watershed event. And suddenly universities across North America were doing tech transfer. Frankly, I've worked at the University of Texas and Creighton University, the University of South Alabama, and I just came from Canada 7 years there. So there's this awareness by communities really across the continent that this is a real way to jumpstart economic development.
Hmm. So there was lots of research going on, perhaps a lot of things were shelved, or there was no one consistently making sure that it was pushed out into the world. Was something like that happening?
I think there wasn't someone. We had people who filled in and did an admirable job all the way through. And the truth is that our research base was growing very modestly through all the years, and it's a sort of coming of age of an institution. Mm-hmm. We were always an important part of the community, whether it's the arts or matriculating students and any of those things that we're involved with, even charity work that our employees do. But as we went along, our research base climbed, and suddenly we're around $70 or $80 million a year, and that's sort of we've reached a critical mass where we can make the investment to open one of these offices. And already, entrepreneurs are benefiting. We've had several conversations. So we're in 1 month, we're seeing the impact that the office can make.
If you have just tuned in, my guest is Gary Bright. He's the director of UL Lafayette's new Office of Innovation Management, which is a field that is growing. You find it at universities across the country, not just in corporations and factories anymore. So give us a sense of that. What you come into a university, and you've worked at a number of universities having to do with innovation management, but also what you call intellectual asset programs. So describe what you do. You come into a university like UL. What do you assess?
Okay. The first thing we try to do is meet with those faculty-student teams. We talk about university inventions, but you and I know that really the people who make those inventions are typically teams of faculty members and students. And so I sort of get around and meet with everybody in their workplace. And it takes 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 months, as you can imagine, 1 or 2 people every day. And then you assay, what are those intellectual assets? And it may be copyrightable subject matter. It may be a new opera on our campus. It could be a new piece of software. We have those on our campus. In fact, I think there are a couple of them already on the market in the App Store. It could be a new chemical entity and in our physics department. It could be something. In fact, it's all those things that I've seen in the last month. So we try to look at those and see if they need to be protected by a patent, trademark, copyright. We put that protection in place, and then we start a dialogue. And the dialogue that takes literally hundreds of hours, contacts around the world, to try to find the right match of a company who needs the product or wants the product improvement and what we've done. And then it's marry the researcher and the company, whether it's a startup or an existing company, and transfer that technology. And it works. You know, it generates hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from university campuses. So that's what we're going to do.
So it's almost like you're a detective, or you're mining for the treasures that are here at the university. Things that perhaps people in individual departments might suspect are there, but really...
There's a lot of mining to it. You're exactly right. I'm glad you picked up on that. One of the faculty members asked me the other day, often when we're in a lab, Tuesday looks like an extension of Monday, and Wednesday is certainly an extension of Tuesday. It's just the evolution of things we've noticed, things we've seen, observations, reports that we made. But some of those things are really innovative, and they're discoveries. And whether we harvest those and license them for free or on a non-exclusive basis, or we give them away for small companies and charge for lawyers, the financials part all aside, we just need to see and assay and count those and look at them and examine them, and then hopefully convey them to the market.
Well, what an extraordinary amount of knowledge you must have about the world out there to be making those marriages, those connections between research being done here, songs being written here, to go out into the world and find those connections.
I've been very lucky. I've worked at 4 terrific institutions. So I think I've seen about 1,300 or 1,400 technologies. I probably filed 500 patent applications. That's a lot, probably as many as a patent attorney would in his career. So I filed hundreds of patent applications and probably done 200 or 300 transactions with the world's largest chemical company, the world's largest cosmetic company, local startup companies, really across the spectrum.
So you're really looking at a wide variety of partners. You're not just looking at big corporations. There are so many different ways to connect what happens here at the university to the outside world.
Every day, I think it's why people do this job. There's not a lot of heavy lifting, and we get to meet the best and brightest. Sometimes these people are the most demanding and most difficult and the most iconoclastic folks. And we get to hear about the story of their field. I've got a technology now that I'm having a hard time kind of get my grasp around. So you study, so it's a lot of late night reading reports, reading publications to get up to speed. And then I build teams of intellectual property attorneys and advisors so that I'm not expected to know all of this, working with the tutelage of the faculty member. And when you're finished, it's a beautiful harmony that comes out of it.
Sounds like a really high-class matchmaker.
I think that's what I am.
And it is a joyous job. You get invited to these weddings all the time, you know, when it works, and people meet up with somebody who can help promote and send their product out into the world.
And it's heartbreaking when it doesn't work. And we see that, too.
Absolutely.
In our business, you have to really accept rejection a lot. Because 99% of the time, there's not going to be a technology fit. And there's all sorts of risks. There's a technology risk. There's the financial risk. There's the business risk. We need to lower the risk for our corporate partners. And it's a difficult, so it's not so simple.
Mm-hmm. Again, I want to say my guest is Gary Bright. He is the director of UL's new Office of Innovation Management here, mining for treasures, looking at everything here at the university on so many levels in so many departments. How long have you been here? How many months?
I think I've been here 32 days.
32 days. So 30. You're just beginning your process of looking at the university and finding out about our departments. And what's been your impression so far?
You know, the first thing that one notices, the friendliness of Lafayette and the region. And that's hard to assay when you come in two or three times. So you notice that. Amazingly, the faculty and students, those inventors and investigators, have really been looking for this service. And the university's done an amazing job of keeping tech transfer, keeping this process alive, knowing that someday they'd make that step and form an office. Mm-hmm. So it's neat to step into that. Now it's a huge job to go assay and see what we have and inventory those things and see what we can commercialize. And technologies are labile. They're like bananas. They have a certain time in which you can get them to the market. You can be too early for the market or too late. So it's about timing. It's about matchmaking. It's about technology. It's about money. It's an exciting story.
What a fascinating job, and how fascinating to know that we have you here in our community, in our university community, and that you're going to be looking at all of these possibilities. And I think that sometimes people have that, you know, I guess that caricature of the ivory tower, the professor, the writer, just sitting in their office and creating these wonderful things, but not having those skills really to go out into the world with what they've created.
It's a terrific point, yes. I think we think of those ivy-covered halls and the students and backpacks and all that stuff. And we wonder, where does Main Street meet with the campus? Mm-hmm. But faculty have changed over the last 20 or 30 or 40 years, much more entrepreneurial, and our students, of course, are much more entrepreneurial in this era. So it's an exciting time. This has been a big story for a long time. So did you
have connections to Louisiana before you came here?
No, but you know, I'd lived to the east and I'd lived to the west, and so I'd always wanted to get to the middle. So.
Come down to the low coast.
Yeah, there you go.
And so has your impression of the friendliness held since you've been living here?
It really has. You know, there are personalities, and I've seen, and it's really been nice. I feel very comfortable. Yeah, I'm committed to the community.
Well, we look forward to having you here in our midst and learning about what you find out about our university community. Again, if you have just tuned in, I'm speaking with Gary Bright. He is the director of UL's Office of Innovation Management. Now, there may be people out there listening right now who have questions or would like to engage you in conversation. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Already, we've had several questions from local business people who ask about handling their intellectual property. They want to harvest intellectual property. They'd like to start up a company, but they wonder, are there any technologies available that they can take off the shelf? And so if one looks at the Office of Innovation Management on the university website, and come right through to me, and I guess we're seeing three or four entrepreneurs or members from the community who want some assistance and direction every week.
All right. And just, again, the field of innovation management, if you hadn't known anything about it, look it up on the web. It's really a fascinating field, and I had no idea how extensive it was and how many people are out there working in that field. And here we are at UL with our own Office of Innovation Management. Well, we'll look forward to speaking with you over your time here and, again, seeing what you discover about us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.
at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. There will be auditions at Cité des Arts tonight and tomorrow evening for Glass Mendacity, a comedy centered around characters created by Tennessee Williams. Those will be from 6 to 9 p.m. tonight and tomorrow evening. You can come with a one-minute comedic monologue. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Acadiana will have an orientation for potential volunteers tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 in their offices in downtown Lafayette. For more information, call them or stop by their website. In Grand Coteau at Casa Azul, there will be an oral history evening with Mrs. Etha Simia Ameling and a poetry reading by Tasha Weatherspoon. That's tomorrow from 7 until 9 p.m. at Casa Azul. And there will be auditions for the play The Rehearsal at Cité des Arts. It's a 17th century comic satire by George Villiers. Those auditions will be from 7 until 9 p.m. Tonight and tomorrow evening at Cité, and on Saturday from 12 until 3. For more information, please contact Cité des Arts. Lots of summer camps for children going on starting in June. The Acadiana Symphony Orchestra has a number for children. Lots going on at Cité des Arts, the Children's Museum of Acadiana. Please call those places. They'll be happy to send you a list, or you can stop by their websites and find out more about the camps taking place. The final in the Louisiana Crossroads series for this season will take place at the Acadiana Center for the Arts tonight and tomorrow evening. Zigaboo Modalist, King of the Funky Drums, will be performing at the ACA, 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow evening. Tickets are available through their website, acadianacenterforthearts.org. And Isidore will be performing on Friday. You're hearing his music, I believe, in the background. Cecil's been playing his music. He will be performing at the Grand Opera House of the South in Crowley. His latest CD has just been produced by the legendary Windham Hill Records label.